Sure. So my name is Emil Björnsson. This is a joint work with a master's thesis student of me and my supervisor, Björn Ottersten. I'm from KTH, the Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm. And I'm here to talk about channel quantization design in multi-user MIMO system. And we will look at this problem both asymptotically and with some practical it's simulations. So as an introduction, we will look at multi-user MIMO. And one reason of working with multi-user MIMO is that you can get the multiplexing gain. But we will also look at what happens with the multiplexing gain if we have some channel uncertainty. What is the impact of it? And talking about the channels, this kind of channel information we can divide into different categories. We can look at the directional information, which we have the abbreviation CDI, and the quality information, which could be the norm or some other measure of the quality of the channel. And we will write this as CQI. And there's basically a trade-off between the directional and the quality information, since if we estimate a channel then to feedback, and we have a limited number of feedback bits, the question is how should we divide this between direction and the quality? And is there an impact of having spatial correlation in the system or having many users? Will this trade-off depend on this? This is things that we are trying to look at using some asymptotic analysis, and we try to confirm them using simulations under what we can call practical conditions. So we look at the downlink transmission system. We have one base station here with NT antennas. We have many users here with one antenna each. And there are more users than antennas, or equal. And there is some kind of constraint on the total power. And we serve them using space division multiple access, SDMA. So we select some of the users and we transmit them at the same time. And why do we look at SDMA? Well, if we look at the asymptotic performance on this kind of system, there's something called the multiplexing gain, which says that the sum rate, the sum of the rates that different users will get at high SNR will look like R, which is the multiplexing gain times log of the SNR plus a constant. Which basically means that if we look at the slope in the curve here with SNR in dB and the sum rate over here, then having a slope 1 means that at high SNR it will go like this line, and at high SNR we will go with this line if we have slope 4. And SDMA improves the multiplexing gain, since the multiplexing gain is more or less the number of interference-free streams that we can send. So with SDMA, we can, in principle, get the number of transmit antennas. And if we just have one user with one antenna, then we can only send one stream to the user. But this analysis here is valid when we have perfect channel state information. So, but in practice, we will have to estimate a channel. We have to quantize it and feed it back to the base station using a limited number of bits, or at least we need to do this in an FDD system. In a TDD system, we will have at least some estimation errors. But this is more like an FDD system. So in practical system, we will have some kind of channel uncertainty. An SDMA requires very accurate channel state information in order to control the coefficient interference that we will have in this kind of system. So Jindal showed in 2006 using their ergodic sum rate that the multiplexing gain will be bounded by 1 under quantized CSI if we have a limited number of bits. We can't increase it. And looking at these curves here, this will be an SDMA case with 4 antennas. Here we're single user case, 1 slope, 4 slope. And what happens if we introduce some kind of channel uncertainty here? Well, the single user case here is quite robust. We can't even really see the difference here between the black and the blue curve. We will lose a little bit since we don't know the channel perfectly, but it's quite robust to having channel uncertainty. While SDMA is very sensitive, since we need this information to be able to separate users. So if we just proceed with transmitting 4 streams, then we become interference limited in the end. And of course, we can switch off and use fewer and fewer streams, and in the end, just one stream to one user and follow this single user curve. So multi-user MIMO with quantized feedback, if we have just B bits per user, then at low SNR, there is no point of using SDMA since the log 1 plus X will only depend on, look like X. So it's no point of having many streams. And at high SNR, SDMA will become interference limited. So there's basically an interval here of medium SNRs where it's reasonable to work with SDMA. And if we increase the number of bits that we have in the system, then we can perhaps increase this interval. But in the end, we will always have an up bound where there's no point of using SDMA anymore since we don't have enough feedback uncertainty. And before we analyze things here, the question is how do we evaluate performance in these kind of systems? And one way would be the actual sum rate. This is the sum rate that we will achieve with our precoders and so if we would know exactly what the channel is. But the problem is we don't know the channel, so there is no point of working with this one since we can't really select the right rates and transmit with them. Another approach would be to use the ergodic sum rate. That would mean that we use a sum rate that will be the mean over all channel realizations. But the problem is that we would like to have short delays in transmission. We would like to select new users all the time, so we can't really do this with short-term scheduling. Still, these are the performance measures that people are using in literature for these kind of systems. But what I claim here is that this is infeasible if we have the block model that looks like this, that first we estimate a channel, then we quantize it and feed it back, and then we just use the selection transmission for a while until this information is updated and we do it all over again. What we need to use in this kind of system is to try to exploit the available information to select some kind of rate that is supported with high probability. And the way that we are doing this is using the epsilon outage rate. Call it RK out, and this is a rate that is only larger than the actual rate with a probability that is epsilon. And we want epsilon to be small. And our proposed performance measure here is then the epsilon outage sum rate, where we sum up these outage rates for the different users. And in order to analyze this, we need to have some assumptions. We assume that we have B bits for feedback per user, and we want to use them efficiently. We want to maximize the epsilon outage sum rate. We assume Rayleigh fading channels, so they are a channel vector with zero mean and some known covariance matrix here, which in general will not be an identity matrix. And these two categories of channel state information can be categorized like this. The direction would more or less be the normalized vector. And we want to use it to select users that are in different directions. And we want to use them to transmit in those directions with beamforming. And the quality information, we want to use them to select users that are strong channel for a moment so we have good channel properties. And then to select an epsilon outage rate that is high. And there's basically in trade-off then how certain do we want to be about the direction and about the quality, which is often disregarded in different papers since they assume that one of these ones are perfectly known and the other one is quantized. But the question we're trying to answer is how do we divide B bits per user between direction and quality information? And first we will do this using some asymptotic analysis. And the first asymptotic observation we have says the following. It should be an epsilon here, there was something wrong, there's a bullet inside of it. But it's epsilon outage sum rate, it behaves like NT times log of the SNR plus a constant, meaning that we assume the full multiplexing gain of NT. When the SNR goes to infinity for n is epsilon, if we know the directional information, the normalized vector for all users perfectly. And the proof idea is quite similar to what Jindal used when he worked with the ergodic sum rate. We can do zero force beamforming since zero force means we want to know the orthogonal space of the channel and knowing the direction and or knowing how long the channel vector is doesn't matter. We have the same orthogonal space. And then we can select an epsilon outage rate based on the statistics that we know of the channel and achieve this result. So the indication of this result looks like that the most important thing here is that we have accurate directional information. But we don't know really what this say for practical SNRs. This is only when SNRs grow large. But is this the only truth? Well, there is another kind of observation that we can make, saying that the epsilon outage sum rate will achieve this multiplexing gain of NT when the SNR goes to infinity for n epsilon, if we know the quality of the information of the channel perfectly for all users. And this is not exactly the norm of the vector. This is another kind of indicator we have in the paper, which is a little bit based on directions too. And this happens if the number of users is large. So it should increase with SNR such that SNR divided by log k, the number of users, then goes to bounded constant. And the proof idea here is that we select strong users based on this quality information, and if we have a non-ID channel, we need to have a, we can't have an ID channel. But if we have a, but just a little bit correlation here, so one of the directions, so these different beams here indicate how strong different eigendirections are. If just one of them is large, another one, and we let the strong select the user as strong, then with high probability it will be the strongest eigendirection that we contain all the power of the channel. So the indication of this kind of result, which is proof using some large number results, is that it seems like we only need quality information in the system. As long as we have many users, so the question is, how many users do we need in practice to see these kind of effects? And also another objection might be that, well, the Rayleigh fading channel isn't perfect as a model. There is a small probability that the channel will become infinitely strong. But if we have many users and select the strongest one, we might end up operating in those tails, which is a modeling artifact of Rayleigh fading distributions. Anyway, this is one of the asymptotic results that we can achieve. Then a third asymptotic result says the following, that we can achieve the epsilon sum rate, we'll achieve the full multiplexing gain when SNR goes to infinity and the epsilon if we have large spatial correlation. And we categorize this, we characterize this using the two largest eigenvalues of the covariance matrix. We take the largest one divided by the second largest, and we want this quotient to become large, such as the SNR divided by it goes to bound constant. And the proof idea is that we have high spatial correlation. That means that the strongest eigendirection will contain more and more percentage of the total power, and then we, the channel direction is known to lie in almost that direction. So the indication of this asymptotic result says that we really need no feedback at all as long as we have a lot of spatial correlation in the system. So what was the summary here? Well, the conclusion from our asymptotic analysis is that we can have very diverse observations. One says that only directional information is sufficient. One says that only quality information is sufficient as long as we have many users. And one says that we don't need any feedback at all as long as we make sure that we have a high spatial correlation channel. But which one or multiple of these ones that actually apply in practical scenarios? This is something that we try to illustrate by simulations. And we just look at the simple SDMA case here with quantized feedback. We use D bits for direction, and we use the Grassmannian codebook that's been adapted in a simple way for the correlation. And we have a Q bit for the CQI, and we use an entropy maximizing codebook. And of course, we can have better codebooks. We can use the Lloyd codebook optimization here, but we want something that's simple. And we can, these are also separate, but as soon as we have some kind of correlation, we actually want to have a combined code book, since for every direction we have, the distribution of the gain will be a little bit different. But we have separate here to make things simple. And we have fixed number of bits, B equal to D plus Q. And we assume perfect CSI at the receiver, so it's only the quantization that creates errors. And for resource allocation, we have four antennas at the transmitter. We have our users randomly located on the circle, so they have the same path loss, just to make things very simple. And we select the greedy scheduling algorithm that I have borrowed from a paper from Trivelato in 07. That's the most simple greedy algorithm you can imagine. But it works well. And we calculate an approximate lower bound on SINR using this feedback information. It's more or less averaging the quantization error. And since this estimate isn't perfect and we want to achieve a certain epsilon outage performance, we have to have a fate margin here, alpha. So we multiply alpha with the SINR we have achieved, and we select an alpha such that the probability that this estimated SINR is larger than the actual SINR is smaller than 5%. And the first simulation results here is for uncorrelated channel, ID. On the y-axis, we have the epsilon outage sum rate. Here we have the SNR that we're varying, and we have 20 users. On the right curve here, we have varying the number of users, and we have fixed SNR at 10 dB. And here we have a total of 12 bits, and the lower two ones are with 8 bits in total, and 8 bits in total, and of course, these represent different allocations. And what we can see here is that the topmost curves here are when we take 2 bits per user for quality information, and the remaining one for directional information. And we can see here that these two curves here, they are going a little bit together. So when we increase the number of users, it seems like having quality information becomes slightly more important. But still, there's always, in these simulations, the best to place 2 bits for quality information. So this agrees quite well with the first asymptotic observation that we had, that quality, that directional information is the most important thing. But what happens when we introduce some spatial correlation? Well, we use a simple model here where the angular spread represents the spatial correlation. So the angular spread is the average direction, angle direction where you should transmit in order for it to receive at the user. So having a small angular spread means that we have high correlation, and when we increase it, we decrease the correlation. And when we increase it, we decrease the correlation, so it's in the opposite direction. And we have 10 dB SNR and 20 users. And it's very hard to read anything at all here, but the truth is that we can gain a little bit here when we have very high correlation by allocating a little bit more bits for quality information. But the difference is very small, and as soon as we increase to an angular spread of 10 to 15 degrees, for example, we once again see that we should allocate about 2 to 3 bits for quality information, the rest of them for direction. So this also agrees quite well with asymptotic observation one, that a few bits for quality information and the rest of them for direction. So as a summary here, we looked at multi-user MIMO, which can show excellent performance if we have perfect channel data information, but in practice it's limited by having feedback quantization. And we discussed how to quantize the channel, and there's a trade-off between the quality information and the directional information. And we've tried to answer what was the relative importance between them. And when we looked asymptotic, there were very different things we can show. We can show anything. So we just handle the asymptotic tool with care. But when we look at simulations, we saw that 2 to 3 bits per user should be used for quality and the remaining one for direction, since it's very important to have a good control of interference. And if you compare this with LTE standards, for example, where we have a code book of 4 bits per user for the quality information, we see here that we can decrease it a little bit by, since we know the channel statistics. So we only use a portion of it, for example, since we know how strong the channel is by average. And the impact of spatial correlation and the number of users is quite small. And our simulations agrees with one of the asymptotic results, which is probably the most reasonable of them. So I would like to thank you for listening. My papers and presentation are available online, and I will be glad to answer questions.
So we have time for questions.
Yes, I have a question, or I mean, maybe some more multiple questions, depending on what other people want to ask. I like the comparison and the asymptotic message is kind of interesting. So I guess I want to push back a little bit on your epsilon, because my understanding is that normally the rate, the issue is uncertainty about the rate. You don't know what log of 1 plus SNR is because you quantize the thing in the SNR.
Yeah.
But my understanding is normally this is what they use this fast hybrid error queue for, to kind of fix that. So that's what every time I talk to someone in industry who works on 3GPP, that's what they tell me. So I guess I'm wondering, do you have any results that show that doing this epsilon gives you something, insight that's not captured by just using the log of 1 plus SNR? Because I didn't see that comparison. So is it essential to what you did?
Well, at the same time, they say in the standards that you should aim at having an epsilon at about 10%. We are not really taking care of the errors that we get. So with 5%, these are around reasonable numbers that we add up to it, but it's hard to, I guess you need to run simulations to see how large epsilon you can accept in order to take care of the rest of the errors using Hilbert ARQ, but I'm quite sure that you can't take care of everything using ARQ.
Yeah, I mean, there's always some more errors. I guess I'm wondering if some of these results depend on that measure of performance as opposed to, you know, that's basically what I'm wondering. But I guess if that's the case, then you would not have the quality. CQI would probably not play as much of a role.
I think if we won't do anything at all here, for example, we will have 50% probability of getting an outage. And taking care of this with ARQ is not really what was meant for the beginning, I think.
No, I mean, the hybrid ARQ, you're going to get sums of these things. So you're going to get, I mean, it disappears. I mean, it's a little bit of delay and it kind of goes away, so.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Further questions? Okay. Then I will ask a question about this assumption on the symmetric user distribution. It turned out that the impact of spatial correlation per user is not large. It has not so much impact.
No.
I guess it's more important with the user distribution and the correlation between user channels. Have you any idea about that, and how you could model it or analyze it in your framework?
So basically, we made those assumptions that was needed in order to fit the proofs of these three asymptotic things in ICAS paper. But I think we can expand things there quite a lot. Many of these observations could be proved asymptotically for different user distributions.
Okay.
But not none of these. I mean, it's not very hard to prove that you achieve the total multiplexing gain. The constants here can be very large, so these proofs are more or less based on that. It's quite easy to prove it.
Okay. So if there are no further questions, thank the speaker again.